pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
I look back at all of these things, and now I can see in the midst of it the grace of God. I can see in the triumphant times that I know that I know that I know that God is the one who has prospered me and not that I have done something myself. And when you begin to think like this, it changes everything in your life. The key is to be able to see God in your life.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series God Moments, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It's Pastor Allen's book by the same title, God Moments, and it can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you a copy of Pastor Allen's book, God Moments, our special offer today. Contact us at PastorAllen.org. That's PastorAllen.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching on God Moments. Here is Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? Your life is connected with heaven, whether you know it or not. God's in your life every single day. That's not the question. The question is not, is God in my life? Is God doing something? Is God with me? That's not the question. The question is, how much of it can you see? And we're going to discover, as we begin a new series on our God Moments, that how you remember your life, how you remember yesterday, is going to determine how you feel today, how you act today. How much you see God in your life is going to determine how much faith you actually have. And I am so excited to begin this new series. During Renolda's centennial years, we're giving thanks to God for all these God moments. It's going to be a series that's going to be laden with testimony. It's going to be faith building. It's going to be eye-opening in the principle of Scripture on how we actually have faith in our lives. All my life, I've heard people say, you know, you ought to have more faith, but I never really knew how does faith come. And we're going to be showing you in the coming weeks, this is God's way. He is for you. He wants you to have faith. He wants you to be able to have confidence in Him. And He wants you to be able to have a positive outlook of a destiny that He's given to you. All of this, God is for this. And He's laid out a way for this to happen. And we're going to be learning about this. It was some years ago, I was reading the Passover story, the whole story of the Exodus, the amazing story of God rescuing the people out of their slavery through the blood of a lamb that was blood that was posted over the Hebrew homes just because God had given them a revelation of this unique way of salvation, the blood of the lamb. And how it was that the people came out, plundered the Egyptians on their way out. The whole story of how Pharaoh was fickle and stubborn and changed his mind and pursued the Israelites up against the Red Sea. And how God opened up that great body of water, set his people free on dry land and swallowed up the enemy and all of his chariots and horses. And in the middle of this story, I came upon a verse I'd read many, many times, but for some reason it arrested my attention and I found myself completely surprised by it. I was reading in Exodus 3 and came to this, "Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place." And what shocked me was that word remember, which I'd read so many times. But on this occasion, it just came across my mind like this. Remember, why do you have to command somebody to remember the Passover and blood of the Lamb and the plagues against Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea? These things are unforgettable, aren't they? Why would you have to tell somebody to remember an unforgettable miracle? And I began to realize that we have a capacity not so much to intellectually forget something, but for our hearts to forget something. For us to maybe acknowledge that something has happened, but forget how much God was in that moment. And God wants us to remember, to remember, to remember. So I started looking through the scriptures and realized the Old Testament is just chock full of this exhortation. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart. Deuteronomy 5, 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Deuteronomy 8, 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you. Deuteronomy 8, 18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Remember, remember, remember. You come into the Psalms 103, verse 2, forget not all his benefits. Nehemiah said, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Jeremiah 51 said, remember the Lord in a distant land. And then you come into the New Testament and you realize that this same theme continues. And Jesus says, don't you remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? Peter said, I always remind you of these things. I think it's right to refresh your memories. The last book of the Bible, Revelation, a famous line says, you've forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. All of this capsulized that when Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples, and he gave a whole new interpretation, identifying that this Passover was really about him. It became what we call the Lord's Supper. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. This thing I give you to do so that you will remember the death, the resurrection. You'll remember the finality and fullness and sufficiency of the love of God, that you will never, ever forget what God has done for you. How quickly we can forget. So what God did for Israel was he inaugurated these series of feasts throughout the year. We'll go into some of these feasts a little bit more in future weeks, but let me just highlight this for you that so that you'll get this picture in your mind. If you lived in ancient Israel, your life had a rhythm to it, and that rhythm was defined by 3 seasons of feasts in Israel. In the spring, there were 3 feasts associated with Passover. In the summer, there was a feast that was associated with what we call Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. And in the fall, there were 3 feasts that were associated with Yom Kippur and the Feast of Booths. And what this meant was that every year, every family was going to do all these things. You would celebrate Passover in the spring, in which you would eat lamb and remember that your people were saved by the blood of the lamb. There would be a moment in which you'd clear out your house of any leaven, and leaven becomes a symbol for sin, and it'd be a picture of how all the sin is being removed. You would have this first fruits offering in the spring, in which you acknowledge to the Lord that every blessing comes from you. We didn't make this grow. You gave us the earth, you gave us the sun, you gave us the water, and so we offer the first to you. And then 50 days after Passover, at this Feast of Weeks at Pentecost, they would commemorate how God was with them. And this becomes traditionally the celebration of the giving of God's word at Mount Sinai, how God is not remaining in hiding but revealed himself. It was at this feast that Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2. And then in the fall, there would be a feast of trumpets. There's a celebration, and then there's Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, in which the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. Once a year, the high priest would go in the Holy of Holies. And then the Feast of Booths, as it was called, even if you were the richest person in Israel, you were required to go and live in a leafy hut for a couple weeks to remember where you came from and that God provided for the people when they had no houses and were just in the wilderness. So kids looked forward to all these celebrations. Families would be together. This was the rhythm of the life of Israel. So what was God doing in this? He was setting up a system wherein, in practical ways, you would have to live out the conscious collective memory of Israel and what God had done for his people. In other words, here's what I want you to see. God wants you to remember what he's done so that in the lean times, you'll remember that God has always provided for you in the past. And in the times that are prosperous, that you'll remember that it is God that gives you wealth. And whatever you're doing in whatever season in your life, that you'll realize that God is connected with you. And so Jesus comes and he says to his disciples, it's better that I go away, because if I go away, I'll send the helper. The Holy Spirit will come. And you know what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, and he will remind you of all these things. He is the teacher. So you don't have feasts that you live by. You have the Spirit of God inside of you who is pointing to Jesus every day. The Spirit-filled life is a life of daily, regularly, ongoingly remembering what God has done for you. How you remember yesterday determines how you're going to live your life tomorrow. People that are around me now could barely believe it if I were to tell you that there was a time in my life I may not have presented it outwardly this way, but inwardly I was very prone to negative thinking. I'd been through a lot of things in my life that had shaped my soul such that I could easily feel doomed. I could easily feel negative. I could easily turn towards the failure. And the transformation that has taken place in my life largely has to do with this, how I now see my life. And I look back over my life, and even the negative things in my life, whether it be my family's breakup as a child, whether it be certain situations I've had to walk through with sickness or death in the family, and I look back at all of these things, and now I can see in the midst of it the grace of God. I can see in the triumphant times that I know that I know that I know that God is the one who has prospered me and not that I have done something myself. And when you begin to think like this, it changes everything in your life. The key is to be able to see God in your life. And as I began to study this and wrote a book on this years ago, what I identified is that what I saw in the feast and what I saw in the testimonies that I heard over and over from people who'd experienced God, that I just, for ease of discussion, I clumped these into five different kinds of God moments. There could be more categories, but these, just for simplicity, that I began to see that there are times in our life in which God just does something to heal us, to save us, to rescue us. I call it amazing rescue.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
God's always been there. In every moment you narrowly escaped from danger, in every moment you were surprised by a blessing, in every moment you just knew the direction to take, God was there. Your life is defined by countless moments of God's grace. Perhaps they've been covered by the sands of time or have just gone unnoticed in the rush of life, but your life is full of God moments. When you make a gift today, we'll send you Pastor Allen's heart-stirring book, God Moments, that will lead you on a spiritual treasure hunt to uncover your God moments. It's Alan Wright's timeless book, God Moments. Discover your God moments in the past and be filled with fresh faith today. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, PastorAllen.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
You were attracted to something that was holy, right, pure, good, and noble, and true. Why were you attracted? Your sin nature was not attracted to that. God attracted you. I call it God moments of holy attraction. And there are times in which you're just blessings that come in your life. May I tell you, some of the happiest people you'll ever meet in your life are the people that understand they have God moments of unearned blessing. People that just go, I am so blessed and I don't deserve it, but man, I'm blessed. Those people realize God has done something and it just makes you a different kind of person. And there's a kind of a God moment also when you realize that God led you. God spoke to you. God revealed something to you. I call it a God moment of revealed truth. And then also is a God moment In the very darkest of times, God is still with you. And sometimes in your life, have you ever had this? You'll look back and there's an adversity that you've been through. While you were going through it, it just, everything within you almost had to battle to go, where could God even be in this? Only later did you realize something like what Joseph realized when he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. There can be valuable adversity. And every week, we're going to celebrate some testimonies. But just kicking this off, we asked a very special lady in our church, and a very special lady to me, because she runs our Sharing the Light office, and she's works with me daily. It assists me in so much of what I do, and I just thank God for her and for her family. They're very, very dear friends that we love with all our heart, and I couldn't think of a more fitting way than to have Laura Hull share her story, in which I asked her just all these God moments, all five of these, that God has been active in your life, because this is a woman who suffered a great deal and was one of the most unlikely people that you could ever imagine, as much disease as she had to face and difficulty she had to face to become an Iron Woman triathlete. And, well, we're going to give you a video and let you listen to a story from Laura Hull.
When I was 24 years old, I saved up my money and went traveling abroad. And as I traveled, I began to notice blood when I used the restroom. And the bleeding increased over the months until one night I found myself alone in Hong Kong, scared out of my mind, sobbing and just pleading with God to save my life because I was convinced I was dying. I didn't know Jesus. I had no idea who this God was I was crying out to. But the Lord used that God moment of holy attraction to begin to draw me to himself. I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, a disease of the large intestine, and I had the disease for 15 years. And looking back, I can now see those years were filled with multiple God moments of valuable adversity. But at the time I was going through them, it was so hard to see how anything valuable was going to come out of what we were going through. Not only was I fighting disease, but my husband was diagnosed with cancer. And in the midst of this craziness, God began to shape my character. He made me into someone who could endure, who could persevere, who never gave up and never lost hope. And he did this by repeatedly showing me he was more than enough for whatever I was facing. I remember so clearly times when I was in so much physical pain that I said, I can't do this. I cannot live another day like this. And his grace carried me. I remember when my husband, his cancer reoccurred for the second time, and he was facing a very risky stem cell transplant. And I said, we can't do this. Our family cannot go through this again. My husband, this is too much. God gave me the strength and all that I needed to walk beside my husband and support him in what he was going through. Things that I read about God in Scripture, his grace, his mercy, his loving kindness, his strength, I began to live out those truths. They became reality in my life, not just words in the Scripture. And I am who I am today because of how God walked with me and supported me through all those times of adversity. I was invited to a retreat for those leading worship at Rinaldo, which was kind of funny because I have nothing to do with leading worship, but the Lord knew I was there for a God moment. The worship retreat leader, Dan Wilt, began to sing a prophetic song over me, and the words he sang compared God's valuing of me to how one might value a precious blue sapphire. And I immediately knew the words were inspired by the Lord because I've loved blue sapphires ever since I was a little girl. And I just drank in those words of encouragement and value from my Savior. And thankfully, that retreat was recorded. So I had my God moment of revealed truth on a cassette tape. Because after 15 years of battling the disease got so severe that medicines couldn't help it. In fact, they were becoming harmful because of the high doses I was taking. And I made the difficult decision to have my colon removed, because when you remove the large intestine, you remove the disease. The surgeons made it so clear there was no guarantee what life was going to look like post-surgery for me. But as I recovered in that hospital room after the surgery, it was one of the most glorious God moments of amazing rescue, as God used that good gift of surgery to free me from a lifetime of disease. I felt euphoric. I felt hyperactive. It was like I was being resurrected. It was like my body was a dry, tired sponge that had been put in God's living waters of life, and my body was just soaking up this new life in a physical, tangible way that I could experience, and I was so, so grateful. 11 years after that surgery, at the age of 50, I have the surprising delight and joy of becoming a triathlete. I found I was pretty good at swimming, biking, and running. I was like the Ever Ready Bunny. I could just go and go. I could persevere, I could endure, I could push through physical discomfort, and I knew I was capable of more than I thought possible. And one day it dawned on me, why was I so good at excelling as a triathlete and had such joy in the sport? It was because of who God made me to be when he walked through 15 years of battling disease with me. So by enabling me to become a triathlete, he perfectly positioned me for the most outrageous God moment of unearned blessing I could have ever imagined. At the age of 55, I became an Ironman. I swam 2.4 miles, I biked 112 miles, and I ran a marathon, 26.2 miles, all while my husband was in great health, cheering me on. And as if that wasn't the most astounding restoration of all the enemy had tried to steal from me and my husband, God went one step further. He lavished favor on me to such an extent that I was chosen by the corporate sponsor of the triathlon, an organization involved in clinical research, to be their athlete ambassador. They wanted to use the story of my journey from illness to health to inspire and encourage others. They sent a film crew to my home and filmed my story. That film was shown to thousands of triathletes prior to the race. That film was shown at a corporate rally to all their employees at which I spoke. I was interviewed by the newspaper, TV, and radio. I had the privilege of interacting with cancer survivors through the Live Strong program. That's our Lord. He's the God who delights to give us God moments that we can treasure and remember, and he'll even go a step further and use us to be part of a God moment in the life of someone else. Woo!
That's my Energizer Bunny I get to work with every day. God is, how did you feel when you're hearing that? It's almost like when someone tells a story like that, it's something that's spiritual that takes place. It's like there's some, by osmosis, there's something palpable that begins to happen inside of you.
Alan Wright, and today's teaching, the God moments of your life. Stick with us. Alan is back here in the studio in just a moment with additional insight on this for your life and a final word.
Unlock the power of blessing your life. Discover God's grace-filled vision for your life by signing up for Alan Wright's free daily blessing. If you want to fill your heart with grace and encouragement, get Alan Wright's daily blessing. It's free and just a click away at PastorAlan.org. God's always been there. In every moment you narrowly escaped from danger. In every moment you were surprised by a blessing. In every moment you just knew the direction to take. God was there. Your life is defined by countless moments of God's grace. Perhaps they've been covered by the sands of time or have just gone unnoticed in the rush of life, but your life is full of God moments. When you make a gift today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's heart-stirring book, God Moments, that will lead you on a spiritual treasure hunt to uncover your God moments. It's Alan Wright's timeless book, God Moments. Discover your God moments in the past and be filled with fresh faith today. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, PastorAlan.org.
Alan, as we kick off this new series, it's God Moments. It's also based upon a book that you've written, and it has to do with going back and looking at the places in your own life, personal life, where God has been faithful and has shown up.
It's so exciting, Daniel. We're looking forward to just taking listeners on a treasure hunt. And so I kind of think of this series as being the treasure map. Mm-hmm. God's always been there in your life. He's always been there. He's been there and you didn't notice it. Been there when you just, for whatever reason, weren't unable to observe it or maybe weren't watchful, but it's not too late. And you go back and you begin to see God at all these crucial places in your life, in big ways, in small ways. And what happens? What happens is that our faith begins to grow, because how you remember yesterday determines how you're going to live tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so we're just so excited about discovering God moments of our lives.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.